Hey everybody, welcome to Hit Rewind. This episode we're going to be diving kind of into another episode we did years ago, kind of wrapping it up, I think, is the Rocky series. And at the time we recorded that, I don't believe Creed had come out. It was about to come out, am I correct?
Yes.
It was one of the very first Franchise Frenzy episodes. And also the one we did right after that was the Rambo franchise, and of course Last Blood had not come out yet. So this episode we're going to be doing the Creed trilogy and Last Blood, kind of a wrap up of something we did almost a decade ago. So let's get Rambo out of the way before we dive into Creed.
Yes, absolutely.
I know what the controversy was, is. I don't necessarily see it. That it was all, you know, anti, what were they were trying to say? It was like very MAGA right wing,
a negative depiction of Mexican culture.
Yeah. It would have been nice if there had been some more positive Latino characters, especially male characters, because I don't believe there is one. But
no, not in this movie.
But to ignore the fact that this exists is also wrong. But you do have to take in consideration Stallone is a Republican. He is apparently a Trump supporter or something like that. Because they've seen him down at Mar-a-Lago, so I'm assuming that you are MAGA. But let's take that out of it and just talk about it as a movie. I will say it's interesting that this is so wildly different than the first three Rambos in a way. I would say it's closest thematically to the fourth film, the one where he goes to, Indonesia, I think it is, and goes up against the tyrants
there.
Cambodia? Oh, was it Cambodia? Okay. But I do believe it is the best sequel since the first one, because it takes out the cartoon elements of 2 and 3. And it isn't as insanely grim and gory as the fourth one, though it isn't far off.
Right.
So the one thing they kind of skip over and they don't fully explain, unless I just didn't catch it, is the little girl calls him Uncle John, but he's not related, but he acts like, he says something in there like, this is my land. And I'm not sure exactly what that means. If it, like, is it land that his family owned at one time and then he came back to it and just decided to work there?
Yeah, like he was able to reclaim ownership, proving that he existed, and he let that family live there.
Okay, so he let them live there. How did I miss that? Because
I don't know. That wasn't really explained either. Like, you just see some photos on the wall, you see pictures of him when he was younger, like, was the surviving heir, probably had them live on there.
Yeah.
And he let them live there as well.
So yeah, he's not related to them, correct, in any way?
Yeah, no, I mean, there's nothing clear about that.
Okay, because I always wondered if they're, like, distant. She calls him Uncle John, but you wonder if that was just, like, how you just do that with family, friends, or people who take care of you.
Yeah, that's what I was guessing, too. Like I said, it was kind of up in the air and wasn't really explained.
That makes a lot more sense now, considering I was like, who the fuck just let you build tunnels on their land? It has to be his.
Absolutely. Well, because at the end of 4, you see him after that onslaught in Cambodia. He's walking, he's finally, like, you know, heading back home to his family estate.
Right, okay. So in the first one, he just leaves because he's so lost after Vietnam and just kind of wanders the earth, kind of like Kane from Kung Fu, just trying to revisit his old surviving team, whoever's left.
Yeah. Like, yeah, no, he was pretty much a wanderer.
Okay. And it's nice that he admits more than once that the monster in him will never really go away. I don't know if it's always been a part of him or because he had a talent for it and that he just kept going down this well during Vietnam and beyond that, where he feels like he's unredeemable because he knows what an efficient killing machine he is.
Absolutely. And then, of course, even when he did try to put that behind him, like, again, the Oregon State Troopers definitely made sure it came back out.
Yeah. And he's trying to make his peace with it, but he knows. I wonder if he built the tunnel because he always knew something bad was going to happen. It's just when. Or that was like his comfort. Because if I remember correctly, he was like a tunnel rat in the first. He mentions that.
Yeah, he was a Green Beret. He would dig in through tunnels. He was also like a POW. So, yeah, no, he'd been through some shit. And yeah, it does bring some kind of comfort to him.
Okay, I was wondering. Like, and plus, like, the methodical planning of stuff, just for no reason whatsoever, just to do it. Like, how I make lists all the time? You probably see on Voodoo, I make a list all the time for no real reason. I just do it.
Yes.
I don't know why I do it. I apologize if it's annoying, but it's just, like, for some reason, that's my comfort, is I constantly make lists. It's weird.
Yeah, no, I mean, especially if you got a lot of stuff to do. Yeah, no, it actually helps a lot.
But yeah, it seems like that's his piece. But in that, you know, through the fact that she so desperately wants to see her father, who basically disappeared when her mother died of cancer, is the driving point of this movie, and that she gets caught up. The balls that it took, spoilers, the balls that it took to actually kill her is devastating, and I really thought that they wouldn't pull away from that. Like, they wouldn't let that happen. This movie is no punches pulled, really, for the most part.
No, definitely. When it came to the, like, how grim and, as far as that substance, yeah, no, it was not afraid to go down that well.
It's Rambo, I think the ballsiest move besides that was the fact that Rambo got his ass handed to him, which he never really has had happen. He's been captured and stuff like that, and he's been shot and hurt and stuff like that, but no, he goes in thinking that he's going to own it, doesn't know anything about that element. What that world is like, and they fuck him up so bad.
I mean, shit, Dre was out for 4 days.
I was wondering how long he was unconscious.
Yeah. Ugh, God. And then all that to happen. It's like, overall, I will say, like, this movie was more style than it was, you know, substance.
Yeah, it's a lot darker, and I do like the fact that Stallone stepped back and let someone else do it, though. You know how it is. I've heard rumors with Stallone is a lot of times he'll hire a director who's hungry, who needs work, that he can manipulate.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, as far as it goes for Rambo 4, yeah, that was like Stallone, like, you know, directing and doing his thing. And quite frankly, again, yeah, I definitely that was a more fitting ending.
Yeah, I almost wish there wasn't a 5. And he talked about 6 for a while. And I'm glad. I honestly wish that he had died at the end of this. I felt like that was what, like John Wick 3. I mean, as much as I like John before, I feel like the point was is live by the gun, die by the gun, you know, that kind of thing. That the only peace that Rambo will ever have is in death. And yet, for some reason, they pull that cowboy ending where he gets up on the horse and rides out.
Yeah.
That feels like a reshoot, doesn't it? Because didn't it feel like he should have died on that porch, sitting in that chair, and, like, protecting his land? That was kind of, like, the peaceful end. But then all of a sudden, in the credits, all of a sudden, he just gets up on the horse and goes. You're like, what? Oh, that had to be a reshoot or something. Like, the test audience probably said, "Ew, I don't want that."
Yeah, no, probably.
Yeah.
No, that does take away from the understanding of the character Rambo.
Right. Well, it's just like in the first one, he was supposed to die, but audiences wanted to see him live, so they reshot the ending.
Yeah.
Actually, no, if I remember correctly...
That actually does make a lot of sense.
Actually, if I remember correctly, they changed the ending before they even filmed, because Kirk Douglas was supposed to play the Colonel and not Richard Crenna, and Kirk Douglas quit because they weren't going to kill Rambo, and that's when they signed Richard.
Oh, okay.
So, I will say this. I don't understand how this movie cost $50 million. I just don't. The last one cost $50 million as well, and you also had Stallone directing, and... insane digital effects at the end and just mass slaughter. But also, this is the thing that people don't talk about a lot when it comes to budgets of movies, because really, why? Only a fucking nerd like me would. Whenever you're developing a project for a long time or acquiring it from another company, there's costs that you have to roll over into the budget. And I know that Caracol, when they went out of business, they sold the rights to Rambo to Weinstein's. And then the Weinsteins sold it to Millennium after going through like 20 scripts and delays or whatever and recasting. All of those costs had to be added to that budget. So if you're telling me that Park 5, which had none of these problems whatsoever, is now costing the same exact thing, I can't see it, because almost nothing happens in this movie until the last 20 minutes. Really?
Yeah, for real. I mean, there's like a couple action scenes here and there.
Barely. I wouldn't count those as action sequences. That thing looked like it cost about $2 million.
Yeah, no, there's no way that budget was $50
million.
This looks like a cheaper budget than Part 4.
Yeah, here's what my theory is, and if they're going to sue me, whatever. I think Millennium, that company, is kind of like almost like a money laundering scheme or something. Because every time I hear about budgets for their movies, I go, where? Where's that money? Apparently, The Expendables 4 cost $100 million, but everybody's telling me that it has the worst special effects they've seen in 30 years, and that it looks like it costs about $50. And I think those guys are either pretending the money, you know, in order to raise money or whatever, they're pretending the budgets are that big, or they're paying themselves huge chunks of cash.
Oh, God, I wouldn't be surprised if it was the latter.
Yeah. So, yeah, in the end, that last 20 minutes, though, is fucking crazy. Holy shit, the setup's almost overboard. Like, the guy who falls on the spikes, they're dead. They're clearly dead. You don't need to fill them with 30 bullets.
Right. No. Shit. Man, that's rage kill. That's like online gaming rage kills. It's like, damn it, man, he's dead already, but shit.
Yeah, I know he was angry, but he's also very strategic, and he was running out of ammo. Remember, he was kind of getting low on weaponry. You want to save that.
Right, but he was precise with his shots, and he had, like, guns stashed, you know, at every possible area.
The magnesium shots are probably the most interesting, unique thing I've never seen on film.
Oh, wow. Overall, I felt like Part 4 was definitely the more fitting ending. Toy Story 3.
I still have not seen Toy Story 4 because I feel like it's done and over with. So, have you seen 4 yet?
Yeah, I saw it in theaters. I actually do like it. Don't get me wrong, I like it. It was really good overall.
Alright, so going over to the Creed trilogy, I think it is the best angle they possibly could have done with that story. I mean, because you couldn't make his kid a boxer. There was never a part of his character, so you couldn't do that. And you can't really remake Rocky. Nobody wants that. It's so unique. That to reboot it, or you know, like, oh, Rocky, this took place between Part 1 and 2 and they're going to de-age Rocky or something like that. Nobody wants that. And yes, they do kind of dirty up Apollo's character a little bit. I think Carl Weathers had problems with that, and that he wouldn't sign off on using the footage or whatever in Part 1. Because they took a character who had no leanings, as far as I remember. I'm going to go rewatch the original six and see if you could see infidelity in his character. Did you ever sense that he would cheat on his wife?
No, never actually. Throughout the first few movies, no.
Yeah, it's such an interesting take. And I could see why Carl Weathers, if that's why he refused, would say no. But it does open up a whole new window and this very fascinating character. I think that Adonis is more fascinating than Rocky. I just do.
Yeah, no, and you definitely can see that within these three movies. I mean, at first, yeah, you know, he ends up in the juvenile system, you know, his mother's dead. And yeah, no, until, oh gosh, why am I blanking on Apollo's wife's name?
I can't remember, I know the actress is Felicia Rashad, but I can't remember her character's name. Yeah, she comes to save him, but there's always this undercurrent of rejection in his character through all three movies, which I'm glad they stuck with.
Right, yes. Well, especially within the first one, you know, once he finds out that he's a Creed, he doesn't want to go behind that name. He calls himself Johnson.
Yeah, and when they call him Baby Creed, oh fuck, what an insult. They're like, that's supposed to be cool. It's like, no, you're doing some sort of, if there's no will and ill intent, then you just don't think things through, because that is really insulting.
Absolutely. It's like, you know, it's like, please don't call me that, you know, just out of respect. But the guy had to keep egging him on.
Yeah.
And then he threatened to fight him. It's like, dude, no. Don't. And then look what happened. He got knocked out.
Right. But in this, like, I really do believe it's hard. Okay, I love Copland. I think that is an amazing performance by Stallone. This one's just slightly better. It is really his peak. He finds this. It's more than just the shy sadness that his character always had. Well, maybe not in 3 and 4. But there's kind of a broken loss to his world now, and he really, I believe it. I fucking believe it. I don't see that as Stallone. I do see this as Rocky Balboa.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, he really envelops into being this character. I mean, what? Part 6 is when you find out Adrian died of cancer, and he still has Paulie, but in this one, you know, it's just him. You know, he doesn't have Paulie, and evidently his kids moved out to Canada.
Yeah, because it was dealing with the loss of their mother, like, he couldn't deal with it anymore, so he left.
Yeah, and it was really wearing down on him, like, especially how he'd see his dad. But good thing for Rocky is that, you know, since 6, like, his financial troubles were over, he has his own restaurant named after his wife, that's still going strong, and yeah. Him meeting Adonis for the first time, you know, that was a great interaction between them. And then we finally figured out who won that secret fight.
I know.
Ugh.
Yeah, I always wondered that.
Yeah, it was Apollo.
Yeah, I always wondered if Stallone gave that. I mean, because he's usually very narcissistic in real life. But I think as he's gotten older, it's gotten a little bit better. But I think that was a nice little gift that he gave to that, not only that character, but to Carl Weathers.
Absolutely, yeah. In fact, I think even Sylvester Stallone himself, like, regretted even shortly after filming 4, killing off Apollo Creed.
Yeah, that set a trend too. Did you notice that? I feel like after Rocky 4, well, in Rocky 3 they do kill Mickey though. It's
like a heart attack.
Yeah, maybe it was Rocky 3 that kind of set the trend. But did you ever notice, like, in franchises, it's usually around 3 or 4 where they kill off one of the older characters, like the father figure. It seems like they do that a lot.
Right, you're not wrong about that. That's for sure.
Yeah, unless it's Blade, where they keep bringing back Kris Kristofferson. I was like, how many times are they going to kill this dude?
Well, part 3 is when he finally dies.
Yeah. I don't think we're ever going to get that Blade movie, by the way. It's been delayed so many times, I just don't see it happening.
No. It's like a wait and see. That has to be on the back burner as far as announcements go.
Right. Go ahead.
For me personally, Apollo Creed was my favorite character throughout all the Rocky films. And it was like, you know, even though I love 4, again, seeing him die was just absolutely bittersweet. And it did suck.
Yeah.
But, and then it's like, once this movie was announced, and then it was directed by Ryan Coogler, and written by him as well, I definitely had to see it. I mean, it was a must for me.
It was,
and
the fact that Stallone was able to step back and let it happen is impressive, because he seems like the kind of guy that would be so controlling that he would never allow someone else to come in and create their own version of that world.
Absolutely, and it was a very well-pitched idea, and I feel like MGM, like Erwin Winkler, kind of had a little bit more control over, more so than Stallone did.
I'm trying.
I think he went to them first.
Yeah.
And of course had to go to Stallone as well.
So, in this one, for me, I think that they kind of changed how they film fights in boxing movies. I'm guessing they probably pre-designed it in CGI rendering or something like that, like the schematics of how to film. And okay, so if you're gonna step here, where does the camera need to be? Where does the audience need to be? Where does this person? You know, they plan it all out and then rehearse it. I don't know how boxing movies were done before that, but they never had this kind of swift movement and flow with, you know, because the punches, they move differently.
Yes.
Because there was always this thing in boxing movies where they did the cutaway. And so you never saw the camera moving as they fought because you never wanted to catch a missed punch. You know, because that's really obvious on camera. But this one, it just seems like how they choreographed it is so amazing. And it flows almost like a song.
Oh, absolutely, yes. And again, you actually have actual boxers within the movie, like Andre Ward and, you know, Tony Bellew, who was the antagonist in the first one.
Okay. And, see, I didn't know if he was an actor or not. I kind of figured he's okay. He's not great, but also he's not a very memorable villain. I think the villains get better in the sequels.
No, but yeah, absolutely. Oh, especially for part two and three. Well, this one, yeah, this was more about Creed making a name for himself, and that was the bigger focus, especially because he wanted to shy away from his actual namesake until it was finally, you know, spilled after his first big professional fight.
Yeah.
Because, what, one of Rocky's trainers who was at Mickey's gym, you know, ended up spilling the beans.
Well, and here's,
all for the sake of notoriety and money.
Here's another interesting thing is that they allowed this, especially as the series continued, but basically from the first movie, they allow this to be a black created franchise. You know, it's not a white... You know how sometimes they make a movie with a black lead, but they're clearly making it for a white audience?
Yes.
So that'd be acceptable for a bigger box office. No, this is clearly a very curated, handmade. Even though it's a studio movie with a good budget, it's handmade. It has its own feel, its own design. Rocky is a part of this world, not the world.
No, exactly. Yeah, and this was some its own world created within that same universe. And as you mentioned, yes, it's its own thing.
Go ahead.
Yeah, carrying on the name Creed really did, like, I'm trying to think of the right phrase to say, on how to say it. Carrying on the name Creed through, you know, the Rocky legacy, considering, like, how big he was in the world of Rocky.
I still think it is insanely wrong. And criminal, cinematically criminal, not actual criminal. How the studios basically threw Carl Weathers away. I can't fucking believe you got a guy who, okay, maybe after the first Rocky, I can see maybe not so many strong performances. Like, they're just trying to give him more work in studio films as a support. But by two, and definitely by three, the guy's a lead. I mean, if it was now, he would be given like 20 other movies with real budgets. But it's a guy who, every time he would get a movie, it seemed like, oh, he's fifth billed and he gets killed a half hour into the movie or something like that. Or he would get some TV stuff. He's charming. He was strong. He is, of all of these actors that were action stars in this era, he is clearly the best actor of the bunch.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, he definitely took the acting work seriously.
Yeah.
Every project he did.
You got four Rocky movies, you got The Predator, and yes, he got Action Jackson. Oh, thank God for Action Jackson. It's machismo fun. It's poking fun at the current action movies and also a love letter to the blaxploitation movies of like 15 years earlier. And have you seen it?
No, but I do have it on DVD.
Okay. You got the DVD. That's the chopped up cut. You know, go watch it on my Vudu. I got the widescreen HD.
I'll definitely have to. And yeah, as I mentioned before, yeah, Carl Weathers' Apollo was my favorite part of the Rocky franchise. And to see the name carried on, and through Michael B. Jordan, who I also admire, great actor, always good to watch, ever since I saw him in Chronicle. And it just carries that name beautifully.
Yeah.
And then the second one, oh God, yes. Then we get into the second one. Oh.
And the second one, the first one seems to be about loss and gain. Like, well, losing, it reflects on things you've lost and then about regaining things. Whereas the second one is about fathers and sons. There's a trilogy of fathers and sons. There's Creed with his lost father. There's Rocky with his son that he can't communicate with because of his own emotional insecurities about it. And yeah. Then there's what the fuck is Dolph Lundgren's character? Drago and his son. And there's this actually the most fascinating to me because it reveals, you know, at the end of Rocky IV, it's like, yes, you lost, and they congratulated each other, and they found maybe there could be some peace in our world if we can get along. And then, no, it turns out he was resoundingly rejected. Even after all communism, quote-unquote, fell, yeah, right, it just gained a new name. I'm sorry. I think Putin and all those guys, they just lied and said, yeah, communism's over with, but just found a new way to keep doing the same corrupt shit and controlling people and murdering people. Whereas in this one, it's his whole nation reject him, his wife reject him, and the son has barely ever known his mother. So their vision for getting that all back is for him to get his son to be world champion, to beat Creed.
Yeah, no, exactly. The legacy, you know, match. And then, oh God, that first fight where Creed just gets broken.
Yeah.
Oh, and spiritually and physically.
My favorite part of this movie is very, very small. But it's when Drago and his son are in that little meeting room and the mother comes in, Brigitte Nielsen comes in, and there's a shock on Dolph Lundgren's face, then a, oh shit, we're having this moment, and then this kind of recoil of shame that he has. Dolph is way better than people treat him, and I think it's because they just see a big slab of meat that's not necessarily charming, but he has had funny, interesting stuff, especially in the Expendables movies. But there's very interesting layers in his acting, I think, over the last decade or two.
Yeah, and this movie definitely showed it. I mean, yeah, they characterized Drago. He's not just some comic book villain, as he once stated before.
Yeah.
There's actual depth and emotion to him, and the way he actually looks out for his son. And then in that second fight, oh my God, I love the ferocity. It was just great, especially to see, you know, Adonis come back up, you know, overcoming his fears, like what Rocky did in Rocky III.
Yeah, well, that was a big thing, is there's a sense that he could get killed too. Everybody knows it. And the fact that Rocky will not train him because he doesn't want to go through that again, but yet he's sitting there watching it on TV, seeing his, you know, protege get slaughtered.
Yeah, his nephew, pretty much he was a nephew to him. He treated him like family.
Yeah.
And yeah, he didn't want to do that again, especially considering, like, oh gosh, especially after that little confrontation in Adrian's, where Drago sees him after so long.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There's no picture of me up here.
He was like, "Why are you here exactly? Like, I don't understand."
Yeah. And then the training regime, like going into that part, you know, he's like, "This is where fighters go to be reborn." Oh man, that was an intense training sequence. Oh God, like even when he does like the little, has the weights like strapped around his head and he was like lifting his neck up. I'm like, oh God.
Yeah, I know. When I was like 15 years ago when I started going to the gym for the first time, there was a guy who strapped this thing on his head and then connected to, you know, the chain for the weightlifting. What do you call the where it's always got a strap to it, you know, a carabiner, and it clamps onto the weights. He was strapping around his neck like 60 pounds or something insane. Like, I can't even imagine doing 10 with my neck because I have a hurt. But he's just like, rah, rah! And I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I'm going to die watching you.
Yeah, I know. But okay. I will say, so far, this one is my favorite. I mean, I loved the first one. And it got me all hyped up, again, just for these particular movies. And then part two definitely took that even more so, especially, you know, seeing the personal stuff where Adonis is like going to be a father now. He has more to lose if we were to have this rematch. And again, getting that ferocity to take on someone like Drago too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's completely broken. His body is broken. Rocky abandoned him, and then Rocky has cancer. And then he reveals that his child is hearing impaired. And he just feels like completely and utterly lost, and trying to regain all that is a really interesting arc. Because if I remember correctly, in Rocky II, when they kind of repeat, you know, they do the same thing, like the changing of life, I guess, when Rocky is now a success and has kids and stuff like that. It's a moment of joy where it's not for Creed.
No, not immediately, no. Especially, I mean, yeah, the baby's born, then it's like, you know, there's the hearing loss, and then he talks over it with Rocky. And then, of course, we see the fight happen, like, that gets resolved. And then at the very end, when he finally gets some closure and visits, you know, Apollo's grave, you know, talking to him, saying like what he was fighting within that ring and within himself, you know, and how his story is far much more different and more interesting than Rocky's.
I really like the end when the Dragos are running together. They don't realize they don't need her, that she abandoned them again, that she never had any love for them, that they need each other, and that they're just kind of like this little smile from his son as they're running together.
Yeah.
By the way, exactly. Dolph Lundgren cannot run. He's the worst runner I've ever seen in my life. He's so big, it's just he doesn't move very well.
And who knows, it could be his knees as well. Jeez,
wow, he is.
He's in his 60s?
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, he's like 65 or something like that. So.
Yeah.
Well, didn't we find out, did they ever, was that a rumor, or did we actually find out that Dolph Lundgren was fighting cancer while filming this? Am I correct?
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
I do remember seeing something about it, and then of course he just had, you know, surgery done on his knee. Like, of course that was like when they were filming Aquaman 2 and Expendables 4.
Oh, I didn't know that. The one thing we haven't mentioned here is also Wood Harris plays Little Duke, which is, if you remember, the Big Duke, which was Apollo's trainer in the first. Well, he's in the first four Rockies, I believe. That's one thing that they don't hammer it over your head. Some of these remakes, continuations of franchises are constantly hammering you over the head with these. Hey, look at this! Remember this from the previous? Like this? Okay, I don't mind the Kelvin trilogy, the Star Trek ones with Chris.
Chris Pine.
Chris Pine, thank you. But they're constantly hammering you over the head from. You remember this from the previous thing? They don't really do
remember
it.
Remember this
here.
From the old movies?
Yeah. There's these little subtle things they throw in there. The turtle is still alive, by the way. Did you notice that in the first Rocky?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. They can live forever, man. But also, yeah, that was another thing I want to mention. The Delphi Academy, where Apollo trained. You know, now it's a big, very fancy Kennedy. All worked up, all nice. Everything's state-of-the-art. Yeah, that trainer was Duke's son. It's like, you know, my father trained your father.
Well, it's interesting that in the second movie, Little Duke and Creed cannot communicate. There's no chemistry. They're not flowing in the training. So that's why he has to go back to Rocky. But it's weird that they never really bring that up in Creed 3. He's back with the younger Duke, and yet there's no problem whatsoever. So I don't know if it was age. Like Creed finally calmed down and became more confident to train against, I can't remember what Jonathan Majors' character is. But let's go ahead and talk about 3 if you're ready.
Yes, let's go on.
So the first movie is just kind of a, if you look at a way of it thematically remaking, is the first movie, obviously. Creed 2 is thematically connected to Rocky 4 with a little bit of Rocky 3 because it's repeating what, you know, his big loss, that it broke him. And then Creed 3 is interesting because it takes, like, the Clubber Lang character in a way. But his vindictiveness and just mere fear. Dude, Jonathan Majors is fucking massive in this movie.
Oh, God, yes.
But it also takes elements of Rocky V, where it's a protege who turns against him. And I find it's like, it's not a remake, but thematically it takes elements from these movies.
Yeah, and it blends them all and makes it far more personal for, you know, Adonis Creed.
Yeah.
Instead of just like, you know, as you mentioned, like comic book villains and stuff like that. So, yeah, honestly, the way this movie played out, and even the fight sequences, I mean, Michael B. Jordan directing this movie, again, he did a great job.
Well,
and I enjoyed this movie from start to finish.
He does things that I'm shocked they let him do. Because there is a thing where they step away from the fight at the end of the movie, and they're shutting out everybody. That, I mean, that's the biggest thing I've ever seen. They're like at a football stadium for this boxing match, which is insane to me.
L.A. State. Yeah, isn't that like somewhere near the Hollywood Hills?
Maybe. Oh, you know what? Maybe it's that No, it's in the middle. I was going to say, maybe it's that concert hall that's outside of Santa Cruz that, or something like that. Not Santa Cruz, Santa Barbara. Mindy and I went to a concert at one of those outdoor palladiums, or whatever you want to call them.
Yes.
Something like that. But no, I think it's like just in literally in like a football or a baseball stadium. But, oh, it says right here, Dodger Stadium. Okay. Dodger Stadium. But in it, they actually stop everything and they go into this world, this almost surreal reality, where they're so consumed by their frustrations and anger and whatever it is they have with each other that they've closed out this entire world. And they start bringing like this gladiator music. Like, it's almost like this surreal, supernatural feel in this fight. And then they take you back into what's really happening. And I can't believe they had the balls, or that Michael B. Jordan had the vision to do this. I am very impressed, and I cannot wait for his next directorial film.
No, same here. And honestly, yeah, as far as the fight scenes, yeah, he was inspired by anime. He is an anime fan.
Oh!
And honestly, I definitely recognize a few references, especially when that part where he's punched in the stomach and he's down for a minute. I'm like, that's straight out of Dragon Ball Z.
Okay, so I
know that.
Yeah, for like me, we've talked about it. I've never seen any real anime, just a few things here and there.
Hmm. Yeah, and then Grappler Baki was another inspiration for sure. And even like the slow-mo action, yeah, it was just overall great to see. You know, definitely kicked up the visuals and the style a bit more. Still kept the depth and carried on this, and as you mentioned, you know, carried on thematically with the previous Rocky films, but it was, again, all, you know, and consistent with Creed.
It's constantly dealing with past traumas. And this one really digs into it because it's something that happened when they were little kids. And I feel like in this one, more than any other entry, they're building a world. Because a lot of the movies, it seems like nothing exists before Rocky, during Rocky, and then then all of a sudden they fast forward like 5 or 6 years, and like, well, what happened? Like, did you tell me anything? The only thing they've ever told you is like, oh, now Rocky's rich. He's got a robot now.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, the absence of Rocky, I think, was a more behind the scenes thing. Again, Irwin Winkler, MGM, the producers just weren't exactly eye to eye with Stallone, and I think there was a bit of a tension between them.
Well, at the same time,
said they didn't want him around.
Also, they have to let this franchise exist without Stallone as a crutch.
Yes.
And
fair point.
This one, I think, made the most money, so thank goodness, because if it had failed or done lower, then they would have been like, okay, we'll give Stallone control over the franchise, and you don't want that. Plus, what is he, 75 now? He can't just keep chugging along with it. Like, he's here's what the surprising thing for me is. Every time Stallone has any sort of boost from something, like critically or commercially, it seems like he fumbles the ball, like, almost every single time. I don't know what it is. He doesn't know how to pick the right projects, or he won't relax enough to let someone do it for him. I don't know. But like after Creed, he should have been in so many good projects. Maybe not as a lead, but as like a supporting character. And the best we got was like a one-day shoot on Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Are you fucking serious? Everything else is like direct-to-video shit.
Yes, and then Guardians of the Galaxy 3. He just voiced... Great White Shark in the Suicide Squad.
Okay, that was great. I love that. Yeah. But it seems like, and I saw it with Van Damme too, after he got a little bit of a boost, is that they seem to blow it. I don't know what it is. Financial reasons? Ego reasons? Stallone's obsession with franchises boggles my mind. The fact that he needed to make Escape Plan into a trilogy? Really? That he's so dead set on a Demolition Man 2 and a Cliffhanger 2. I mean, what the fuck? Let it go.
Right, yeah. I mean, Escape Plan, I didn't even know had a trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
There was a second one?
Here they were just released straight to video, but over in other countries it was released in theaters. See, what happened was Escape Plan here didn't make any money. It cost like $60 million, but only made like $25 or $30 here. But overseas, it made like $100 million more, and especially huge in China. So China helped produce two sequels at like $20 million apiece. And
oh, wow.
They're the ugliest goddamn movies you've ever seen. They look like they were shot with a phone and with no lighting whatsoever. You cannot tell what's going on. I can't believe they got Batista in there as well. It must have just been huge paychecks for these guys and nothing on the actual production.
Wow.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah, after knowing that. Shit.
I know franchises are safe, And I'm a little concerned after this one that there's going to be a Creed 4, Creed 5, whatever. But the story is done. I'm serious. I cannot think of any other angle you can go with Creed and make it fresh. Give his character something new. I don't know. And plus, he's getting old, man. At this point, he's already retired. Now, if you had not had him, if you had not had him retired at the beginning of this, and developing his own management company, that would have been an angle for 4. If you had still made him the world champion, and then having to face his friend, that's different. That's what I. That's what I would have done, story wise. If you weren't going to end the franchise.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, as far as part 4, Stallone says he would be down if he were to return. And that might be like a farewell to Rocky.
I guess, but what are you going to do? He's already defended the world championship, so you can't do that. He's already lost and had to go back. He's done. He's already retired and go back. I don't know what else you can do with the character, and I think it's time to close up shop. Please let it go. I saw that they're developing a lower-budget Drago movie for like $20 million. That's an angle you can go with. I don't know if that guy's a good actor. He seems okay.
Yeah, I think one of the things I did see him in was Shang-Chi, but it was good to see Drago come back in 3.
That was, and then, yeah.
You know, help him retrain for the fight against Jonathan Majors.
I don't know who the other actor is. The one that he's training in the first place that loses to Jonathan Majors. I actually thought he could be a good character too. I thought he was pretty appealing.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what his name is. Hold on, let me.
Well, it says here, I think it's El Guerrero Chavez.
Guerrero Chavez?
Yeah, is his character's name, but I don't know the actor. But I thought he was pretty interesting, and there's an angle you can go there. If you're going to make a Rocky-verse, I guess, there are other characters you can focus on and just not make it about Creed. Like the way they are with John Wick 4. Or not John Wick 4, I'm sorry, the ballerina. Like, they're making a part of that world, but they're moving on.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, yeah, you could go great with the Drago angle, but yeah, as far as Creed's story goes, yeah, man. I mean, again, as you stated and as it showed, yeah, like he had that fight, defended his title, and then was going retiring and promoting, and you know, going into management. But then, of course, as the plot unfolded, he comes back for that one fight.
Have you ever seen, there's a franchise of lower budget, most of them are direct-to-video, it's called Undisputed.
Undisputed.
So the first one, it was Wesley Snipes and, oh damn it, we got the meats. Mission Impossible. Fuck. I can't think of his name. But it doesn't matter right now. But that was a movie that was in theaters, it made okay money, but it was huge on video, and then they made all these movies with, it started off with Michael Jai White, and then it moved over to Scott Adkins because they switched to a different character. And constantly moving the story along in different ways. It starts off in prison, and then it moves to underground fighting and stuff like that. It'd be really funny if Creed went in a whole different direction, and then he has to fight to save his family like in some sort of underground boxing arena like in his 40s. Like, go totally different. Instead of huge, go small.
Oh no! But I better see some more anime-inspired style fighting. Then, yeah. If that be the case.
I forgot. It's shit. Ving Rhames. I'm sorry. That's why I couldn't believe I can't remember the name Ving Rhames for fuck's sake. But there's been four of those. Yeah.
Yeah, but that character you mentioned was an actual boxer, Jose Luis Benavidez Jr.
Oh, okay. Well, he's not a bad actor. I thought he was pretty interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But
a good step in.
Jonathan Majors, I can't believe how poised he was to be one of the biggest things in the universe. And that piece of fart just fucked it up, man. And you can, it's funny, if he does have that rage in him, though, in real life, if that's true, you can kind of see the undercurrent in that performance. I mean, it fed the performance. He's an angry little boy in this movie. He's not an adult in any way. Look at, he pouts all the fucking time like a sad, angry, miserable little fuck.
That's because, you know, his youth has, like, kind of passed him by because he was locked up for so long.
Yeah. But I thought,
he was hoping Creed would help him out a little bit faster, but no. But he was very conniving. He was very sinister. And, yeah, no, he was manipulative.
It's That's the sad truth, is that a lot of really great actors are fucked up human beings, because that somehow feeds into their talents, their performances. They can tap into something that other people can't. There's a reason why James Woods is really good at playing fucking assholes. Just some people can tap into things that others can't, because there's maybe something in them that hadn't been revealed yet.
Right. No, I will say, you know, I would say this would be a great finale for, you know, Creed if it were to stop here.
It'd be really interesting. There's a seed left at the end of this movie about his daughter boxing. And it would be interesting if they let the franchise rest for like 15 years or so. And then all of a sudden she's a young amateur coming up. Like, the world of girl boxing has barely been touched. I think only that movie Girl Fight has really been the only one to tap into it. But it's clearly, if you pay attention to sports as little as I even do, it's clearly a growing world of MMA and boxing for women.
Yeah, I mean, the only other boxing movie or boxing related film was was the one that Clint Eastwood did.
Oh, you know what? You're right. I'm stupid. I'm sorry. I forgot completely about that. Million Dollar Baby.
There was Million Dollar Baby, and then there was this independent one that Michelle Rodriguez did
too. That's the one I was talking about, Girl Fight. Yeah, that was a few years before Million Dollar Baby. So I can see, like, maybe 15, 20 years from now, you have a new angle on the Creed franchise, but now it's about his daughter.
Yeah, no, that would be very interesting. And I like how they were able to adapt, or even his wife was able to, like, you know, kind of move on and do her thing. I mean, yeah, she's made great music, and now she's producing. You know, she has her own thing going on.
Old man me kept listening to her music, and I'm like, she's successful? I am so out of tune with what's popular in music, because I don't like this at all.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, like I said, each will have their own, like, tastes and whatnot.
Yeah, I'm sure if anybody heard me listening to some of the stuff that I listen to, Devo, what kind of nerd shit is this? Fucking loser, virgin.
Dare to be stupid. Okay, well, that's something we'll have to discuss later. But yeah, overall, I really enjoyed this film. Movies like this, I definitely go to the theaters for. And again, I had to own it afterwards. I even got a poster of it.
Yeah, it's 3 is so good. It's so unique in that world that I'm kind of glad that MGM was able to give the franchise some new air to breathe.
Yes. Yeah. No. You let Michael B. Jordan do his thing, and yeah, he delivered.
Yeah.
Big time.
It's a dangerous thing too, because of ego. You never know, or not just ego, but deal wrangling. We're like. We all saw what happened after William Shatner got jealous of Leonard Nimoy with Star Trek V. It did not go well. So yeah. Sometimes it's a dangerous game to play.
Oh, man.
Or Steven Seagal with On Deadly Ground. Hey, it's a movie about Native Americans, and guess what? I'm not going to include any actual Native Americans. I'm going to cast other people. Oh my God, Steven, how do you fuck that up?
I know. Easily. He thinks he knows best.
It's funny, we were just talking about it today, and of all the action heroes, every single action hero from that era that was of some name really grew as an actor. Over the years, you can see the evolution of their talent, except Steven Seagal never grew. He actually recoiled worse than ever before.
Right. No, of course. Exactly. I mean, hell, even Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger, was like, he wanted to develop better as an actor. Dave Bautista, he wants to do better as an actor, and he's definitely shown it.
Well, I mean, look.
I'd love to see him in more projects.
Actually, even the newer guys, Dwayne Johnson has grown since Scorpion King and Walking Tall. And the Rundown and stuff like that. Batista's grown. But the older guys, Van Damme, look at his first few movies and then look at it later where, you know, he's the villain like in Expendables 4, and he's clearly grown quite a bit. You know, and Dolph Lundgren and Stallone and Schwarzenegger. I'm trying to think of anybody else. Mark Dacascos was always charming. Come on.
Love Mark Dacascos.
Yeah. Other than that, I can't really think of anybody else that really broke big and then just kind of like got better as an actor. Just Seagal just didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, I will say this about Carl Weathers, though. He always was a good actor, making rest.
Yeah.
And him directing, he actually directed a few episodes of Mandalorian. But, you know, which was really interesting to see, which is really great for him.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, it was, other than it being Star Wars, I wanted to watch it because of him.
Well, and that's what prompted this episode, not just because it was time to get around to finishing that story up, but also, like, you know, we lost Carl Weathers, what, 2-3 weeks ago? And yeah. I keep telling people this. 1988, look at the box office results from Steven Seagal with Above the Law. Look at Van Damme with Bloodsport and Cyborg, and then look at Carl Weathers and Action Jackson. Action Jackson made more profit than those movies, and yet who got signed to multi-picture deals from studios? Not Carl Weathers. Make that fucking make sense. I don't understand.
I don't either. Yeah, I mean, he may have had, like, vanity on his side, and, you know, she had, like, a good following. Well, it was a Prince Protege, yeah, and X. And then, of course, yeah, Carl Weathers, who, again, was great, you know, had a huge following after Rocky, and of course, you know, you know, was also seen in Predator. It's like, this guy couldn't hold his own.
Well, if a studio wasn't going to sign him, how is it like Canon Pictures or New Line Cinema? Some of the younger guys, with, you know, with losing, like, you know, Charles Bronson and Chuck Norris as stars, how do they not sign him to a couple pictures? I'm flummoxed.
No, he definitely deserved more than that, for sure.
But at the same time, by not becoming a star, he got to do things that none of those other guys ever got to do. Happy Gilmore. There's a whole generation that are locked in on his performance, in that it's so fucking funny. And then there's Arrested Development. There's a couple other movies in there where he got to be comedic and just be a normal guy instead of an action guy. And none of those guys really got to do that. Because even Schwarzenegger and Stallone in their comedy roles still had to play like tough guys, just in funnier situations.
Absolutely. Yeah. Speaking of Happy Gilmore, oh man. Him, you know, playing We've Only Just Begun, I'm like, that kind of hits harder now.
Yeah.
Oh.
Died way too young. And it's getting to that era, though, where we have to start expecting that. All those action guys of the eras, bare minimum, are like 60.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
early 70s.
Yeah. I still can't believe
when Dolph goes.
Stallone is still signed up for like 5 more action movies. Like, dude, you're almost 80. You broke your fucking neck. What are you doing?
Seriously. Oh, man.
Oh, well, Chuck Norris will probably go. I forgot. Chuck Norris will probably be the first to go because he's got to be like 84, 85. Still dyeing that hair, Chuck. We know it's not we know it's not black. Please stop it. You look embarrassing.
For real. I know. Oh, God. You know, of all the jokes about, like, everything else dying around Chuck Norris because he's that, you know, powerful or some shit, it would be, you know, odd if he were the first one to go.
Yeah.
Due to all those memes and shit.
Yeah. But, I mean, realistically, maybe. Well, Schwarzenegger's had a lot of heart stuff. We're going on way too long here. Let's wrap this up. Jacob, go ahead and send us out.
Okay. Yeah, namaste and good luck, everybody. Be excellent to each other.
And party on, dudes!